Dear Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you that everyone hopefully is feeling well and doing okay, and please help give everyone the strength to press on, like this song said, and so amen.
Amen. Thank you. Well, it's now that time for the campfire presentation. I have to say, I think that all the things and all the parts of campfire has to be one of the most blessed times. So we're looking forward to another message tonight.
God is good. Come on, that's weak. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time. In Kenya, they say, Mungu ni mwema. And then you say, wakati wote. And then they say, Mungu ni mwema, wakati wote. And you say, Mungu ni mwema. Anyway, God is good. God is good. And all the time.
God is good.
Did you have supper? Did you like it?
Yes, sir.
God is good?
All the time.
And all the time?
God is good.
All right. Okay, I believe you. I committed two more sins today. I'm not coming back to this camp. Let me tell you what the two sins were. I put on my badge for lunch, wore my badge on the wrong side. And when I left the room, and I'm telling the truth, my shirt was tucked in, but it's of a fabric that's very slippery. I almost struck him with leprosy. All right, it was of a fabric that's slippery. By the time I got to the lunch place, your fancy cafeteria, my shirt was out. And so a nice brother, I don't remember who he was it you? Some nice good brother. Oh, he said, Mr. Skeet, your shirt is out of your pants. And I fixed it immediately. That was sin number one. Then when I went for supper, I changed shirts and I put on this one and I forgot the badge again. That badge, I'll be so glad when I never see a badge again. And when I got to the place of the food, the manor, one of the ladies said to me, "Where's your badge?" And I said, "Ah, sis, I forgot the thing." And another lady gave me her badge. And she decided to fast. God bless her. And so I wore her badge and they gave me some food. And I put the badge on this side and another nosy lady put it on this side. And I'm just having the time of my life with young disciples. God bless all the ladies who let me eat. Those are my two sins. I hope to commit none tomorrow. Remember, I ask you to pray for me to remember my badge. When was it? Was it lunchtime when I saw Brother Pruitt? It was lunchtime, and Brother Pruitt drove it with a van, and it was supper time. Supper time, yeah, when you came back, that's right. And some students were piling out of the van, and one said, "Thank you, Mr. Pruitt." And I said, "That's nice. There's a certain way to address an adult. And it's not by the person's first name." And so when I heard that student say, "Mr. Pruitt," I said, "God bless that young person. Respect." We're living in an age where respect is a dying thing. Let me tell you what Ellen White said about Jesus. Evangelism, page 636, paragraph 1. "Christ carried out in his life his own divine teachings. His zeal never led him to become passionate. He manifested consistency without obstinacy, benevolence without weakness, tenderness and sympathy without sentimentalism." Now catch the rest of it. "He was highly social, yet he possessed a reserved dignity that did not encourage undue familiarity." Which means that Jesus had a line. And while he loved you with all his heart, and he came to die, there was something about Christ that told you, "Watch it. Watch how you interact with me. Don't cross this line." Ellen White said he had a reserved dignity that did not encourage familiarity. I don't know why I'm telling you all of this, but it's something I observe wherever I travel. We're in an age where people don't know the difference between friendliness and familiarity. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I heard a half-dead yes on this side, and the other half-dead was on that side. What's the difference between friendliness and familiarity? Some bright person tell me. Who's bright? No bright people. Okay, you're bright. Blue. Okay. There was, all right, okay, ladies first. What's the difference between familiarity and friendliness? Friendliness is what? Okay. Friendliness demands respect. Familiarity doesn't. That's a very slippery answer. All right. Someone else. What's the difference between familiarity and friendliness? Joshua? Friendliness is?
Giving the other person that's bonding friendship the power to destroy you, but the knowledge that, or the faith that they won't. And,
familiarity.
That's just
like knowing the name. Okay. Anyone else? Friendliness, familiarity. What's the difference? Okay. Dr. Pruitt, yes, tell us. That's right. Familiarity goes too far. Friendliness realizes, thus far, no further. Familiarity goes too far. Be friendly, never be familiar. Is that clear? Well, say amen.
Amen.
Why do I have to beg you for amens all the time? All right, say amen again.
Amen.
Okay, do we really need this fire? It's bothering me. No, leave it for today. Tomorrow I'm coming with a bucket of water. And I'm just going to dash it on. That smoke bothers me. What's that? Oh, okay, thank you, thank you. Is there any water in it? I just see a bucket. All right, go with me to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis 1. Let's read verse 26. Do you have it? My handsome brother, read for us. Genesis 1:26.
And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness.
Stop. All right. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Now let's drop that right there. Let me switch abruptly to something else. I'll come back to that. In the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, for those of you who are mental health professionals, I think it's edition 4-5. There are over 300 mental disorders listed. As a matter of fact, the American Psychiatric Association that publishes that very thick book, they're trying to include grief that lasts longer than 2 weeks as a mental disorder. You didn't hear me? You didn't hear me? Come on, argue with some energy. You didn't hear me? Yes, we did. Whom? All right. Okay. Now, if they include grief as a mental disorder, grief that lasts more than 2 weeks, then all the Israelites would have to been mad because they grieved 40 days for Moses when he died. Are you with me? They had a habit of grieving 40 days. But there are over 300 mental disorders listed in that book. Of all the 300 plus mental disorders, there is one that results in more mortality than any other. What do I mean by results in more mortality? More deaths. Very good. What did I tell you to do when I use a word you may not know? Ask. Yes. Don't pretend to know if you don't. Always ask. There is one mental disorder that results in more deaths than any other. And those deaths occur mainly among teenagers between 15 and 24 and overwhelmingly young ladies. Who can guess what that mental disorder is? The experts believe it is caused, one of the causes is depression. They believe that, one of the causes. But it's not actually depression. What's the condition? Stress? No, not exactly stress. Stress may contribute, but it's not stress, yes. Eating disorders. Eating disorders cause more deaths among 15 to 24 year old ladies particularly than any other mental disorder. Now, why do you think these young ladies have eating disorders? Why? Let's pick one condition called anorexia nervosa. What is anorexia nervosa? It's a condition in which the person believes she is eternally overweight and will not eat. Or eats very little, even though the person looks in the mirror and sees a skeleton, the person thinks, I am too fat. Now, experts believe some of the things that contribute to that are social pressures. What do I mean by social pressures? Peer pressure. Peer pressure to do what? To stay skinny, yes. The peer pressure can just be all the magazines that you see on the shelves in the supermarket, at the airport, the bookstores. All of them on the cover, they have skinny women. Now, according to the studies, only 5% of American women fit that model. Only 5%. Yet, just... Someone said amen. All right, whoever it was that said that, God bless that vegetarian. All right, only 5% of women in the United States fit that image. Now, there is this pressure to be slim. And this condition called anorexia nervosa is found very frequently in areas that are sports that are called aesthetic sports, like gymnastics. What else? Ice skating, ballet, and of course, modeling is not a sport, but it's a professional area. So ballet, ice skating, gymnastics, modeling, actresses. Okay, volleyball, all right, beach volleyball. There is a tremendous, what's that? Who? Cheerleading, yes. Are you a cheerleader? You know, all these areas of sports, they put pressure on the young people to be thin. Another source of pressure, television. I have to assume you don't go to the movies, so I won't even mention that. Television, which is a form of movies in your home. Ah, you went quiet on me. Am I right? Whether you watch the rubbish in a movie house or in your home, it's the same thing. Anyway, we see these people on television. They're slim. Name some of them. Who are the personalities on television, the young ladies? Always on the covers of magazines. Lady Gaga. Ever heard of her? Oh, good for you. Sister Gaga, yes. Who else is there? Britney Spears and Rihanna, who actually is from my country, Barbados. All these people, young ladies want to be like them. And the desire to be like them is so great, they endanger their very lives. Are you with me? They die trying to be like those images now. What is it about a human being that drives that person to want to be like somebody else? Where did that come from? What did you say? Okay, someone said Satan. Someone else. Yes, Nicole. Okay, Lucifer is Satan's twin brother. All right. Okay, anyone else? Anyone else? Yes. God. Okay, God. So to get it from God to try to copy somebody else? Ah, sister, I like you. Do you know that came from God? Now read the verse we just read. And God said?
And God said, let us make man in our image, after our
likeness. Stop. Patriarchs and Prophets, page 45, paragraph 2. Listen to these words from Ellen White. Man was to bear God's image, both in character and in outward resemblance. Now, we don't know what God looks like, but whatever he looks like, we were to look like that. Man was to bear God's image, both in character and in outward resemblance. So when the Bible says, and God said, let us make man in our image, we were made with the capacity and the desire to look like somebody else. But who was that other person? God, as my lovely sister said. But sin, you see, sin is a corrupter. What do I mean by that? What do I mean by that? It spoils things. Is that what somebody said? It spoils things. Let me give an example, then I'll come back to sin as a corrupter. The Lord made Adam and Eve. He told them, be fruitful and multiply. To be fruitful, you have to have physical relations. But the Bible arranged physical relations between a man and a woman. You'll observe, God made a man and a woman, not a boy and a girl. Come on, say amen.
Amen.
Say it louder.
Amen.
He made a man and a woman. He put a man and a woman together, not a boy and a girl. You still like me? A little bit. It's okay. Let me say it one more time, third time. God put a man and a woman together, and they were husband and wife first. He did not put a boy and a girl. And he gave to the man and the woman the privilege of physical relations. for their own enjoyment, for procreating the race. We have taken that blessed privilege from God and we've produced homosexuality, lesbianism, masturbation, bestiality, fornication, adultery. We've produced all kinds of things, prostitution, all from something God gave to honor him. We have used because of sin to dishonor him. Are you with me? All right. God gave us a mind to study nature, to study him, and to come to what conclusion? That he's the creator and that he's good. Amen. Thank you, brother. One lonely, isolated. Amen. I appreciate it. Now, we use that same mind to come to the conclusion that there's no God. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Can you imagine how that hurts God? I give you a mind, says God, to study my works, to study me, and to become more confirmed in my reality and my power and my righteousness. That's the why I gave you the mind, and by studying me to become more like me, because of sin, we use the same mind to conclude there's no God. Now let's go back to the image. God put in us the desire and the capacity to look like someone else. To be like someone else, and that someone was to be God. But because of sin, we try to be like people on television, people on Sports Illustrated. So if you are from the U.S., you want to be like, I don't know, Kobe Bryant. You're from Canada, you want to be like Wayne Gretzky. Huh? Who's that? Good question. Okay, is that what you said? Who's that? If you're from, huh? Oh, he's not the NHL anymore. Where do you get that? From the Quarterly? Okay. We try to be like everybody except Jesus. Now, this hurts Christ. We have one mission on this earth. We have one job description, and that job description is to reflect God. Listen to the verse again. Read. And God said, that was it. Which means that when Adam was made, he had no image of his own. If Adam had remained sinless, by observing all his behaviors, all his speech, we would have concluded that's God. Or representation, reflection of God. But Adam acquired his own image in chapter 5. Read chapter 5, verse 3. Here's Adam's image. Verse 3, chapter 5. And Adam lived.
And Adam lived 130 years.
Uh-huh.
He had a son in his own likeness.
Uh-huh. After his, that's right. So in Genesis 1:26, we have God's image as the standard for us. In Genesis 5:3, we have Adam's standard, Adam's image, because of sin. My young sisters, my young brothers, God's requirement has not changed despite sin. Let me say that again. Before Adam sinned, what was God's requirement for Adam? To be like him. And to be like God is to be what?
Righteous.
Give me another word. Perfect. To be like God is to be perfect. Now, when Adam sinned, God did not lower his standard. God has the same standard for us that he had for Adam, and that standard is perfection, and that is reached as we behold Christ, or we behold God in Christ. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, reading verse 18. One of my sisters read for us. 2 Corinthians 3:18, then I let you go. Do you have it? Who has it? Who has it? Yes, my dear sister in the back. Read for us. But we all. Beholding as in the glass the glory of the Lord are changed. By beholding the glory of the Lord. What is God's glory? Well, the verse tells you. There are two words used interchangeably in that passage. What are the two words? Some bright person tell me quickly. There are two words used interchangeably. What are they? Glory and image, that's right. Now, so the glory of God is the image of God. God's amazing grace, page 322, paragraph 2, the glory of God is his character. And so the Bible says, by beholding the glory of God, we are changed into that same image. Now, does the image of God have sin in it? Yes or no? Come on, speak with more confidence. Does God's image have sin? No. What's God's desire for us? Perfection. Through? Come on, say through? Jesus Christ. Not television personalities. Not basketball personalities. Not political figures. Only through Christ. And so your focus and my focus should be, I want to be like Jesus. You know, as I travel the world, people come to me and say, Pastor, pray for me for this, for that, for that. I said, okay, pray for me to finish school. Pray for me to get a husband. Pray for me to get a wife. Pray for me to get rid of one. Pray for me to do all sorts of things. I have never heard someone say to me, pray for me to be like Jesus. Never. Never. Pray for me to get a job. Pray for me to get a house. I have never heard someone say, pray for me, I want to be like Jesus. Never. Maybe it'll happen for me for the first time at Young Disciples. I don't know. But I have never, ever been asked, pray for me, I want to be like Jesus. Listen to me. This is your business on this earth, to be like Christ. It's my business. In everything we do, someone quote from memory, 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore ye, or whatso, do it how? What do you understand by whatsoever? Everything. When you go to the restaurant, you go out for dinner, should you do that to the glory of God?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. When you go swimming in the lake, should you do that to the glory of God? If you get to the age where you can date, should you do that in the image of to the glory of God?
Yes.
When your professor gives you a bad grade and you want to go contest it, should you do that to the glory of God?
Yes.
Yes. When your parents ground you, should you respond to the glory of God?
Yes.
Come on, say it louder.
Yes, sir.
You should have been grounded in the first place, not the second. My young friends, to the glory of God. In how many things?
All
things. And God said, let us make man in our image. Not the image of a movie star, not the image of someone you like. My duty, your duty, our sacred calling is to try to be like Jesus. How many of you will say, Father, help me to be like Jesus? Can I see your right hand? Now, did you raise your hand seriously? Let's pray with your hands up. Father in heaven, accept this commitment, dear God. Grant us the indwelling power of Christ, that day by day, moment by moment, we will try to reflect his character and let our lives inspire others. In Jesus' name we pray. Let all God's people say, amen and amen. See you tomorrow. Good night. Sleep well. Let me suggest something for you tonight. When you put your head on the pillow, take a Bible verse. Think of that verse until you fall asleep. What did I say? Until you fall asleep. Let the last conscious thought be the word of God. God bless you.